Now please let's turn in our Bibles to the passage that we read earlier, Psalm 46, and I'm looking particularly this morning at the first seven verses, actually specifically focusing on verses 1 and 2, but in the context of verses 1 to 7. Psalm 46, I'll just read the first two verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. I wonder what your thoughts and feelings are on this, the first day of 2023. I wonder what your thoughts are as you look ahead over the next 12 months and you wonder about what the next 12 months will bring. I guess for many of us, there's at least some anxiety. Perhaps you are now in your elderly years and you've seen that with age comes issues with the body, with weaknesses and illness and so on. And you worry about this and you think, well, there are going to be health issues in the coming year. And I wonder how I'll handle that in 2023. Perhaps you think about financial matters. We're hearing much about the cost of living and how everything is going up and how people are struggling. And perhaps life for you is a struggle. Perhaps every week you're finding it a stretch that what you bring in doesn't quite cover what goes out, and what goes out is increasing quite rapidly. Perhaps that's a worry to you. Perhaps there are work issues with you and you're anxious as you will begin work in the next few days. Well, what will work look like and how will work develop in the coming year? Or perhaps there are family issues, children, parents, grandparents and so on, and you worry about that. What will happen with my family? I expect there are anxieties and worries that we have. Well, I want us to look specifically at Psalm 46 and that first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. What is it that we need in 2023? What we need is a clearer and a deeper understanding of who our God is. That's our greatest need. We need a clearer understanding, a deeper understanding, a better understanding of who our Lord Jesus Christ is, of who God is. Now you may say, well, I've been a Christian many years. I know who God is. And I say to you, if you think like that, you must be mistaken, because God is eternal and God is immense. I mean, our minds are puny anyway. Even if there hadn't been the fall of Adam, if Adam hadn't fallen, our brains are still very limited, aren't they? The human brain is limited. Human understanding is limited. So we can't have a complete understanding of the immensity, the greatness, the magnificence of God. But we can grow in our understanding of the immensity and the greatness and the magnificence of God. Surely we can grow in that. And I say to you, that has to be our goal in 2023. You know, when you look at Psalm 46 and the first seven verses, it's a very, very interesting psalm. It's a fascinating psalm. I don't know another psalm like this. This is how the passage unfolds. Let me just give you an overview of those seven verses, and then I'll come back to verse 1. In verse 1, you have the character of God declared. You have a description of God in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. And then in verses 2 and 3, you have a kind of a picture of the world. It's rather like watching one of these Hollywood movies where an earthquake is taking place or tsunami is taking place. And there is turmoil. and disturbance great activity, natural activity going on everywhere. Do you see that in verses 2 and 3? It's describing all the turmoil that goes on in the world. Though the earth gives way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at its swelling. There's this graphic picture here of turmoil on earth. The psalmist says to us, if you were to look at the world around you, you would see nothing but turmoil everywhere. You would see wars and famines and violence. And you'd see all kinds of troubles and tribulation everywhere. He's saying the world has nothing but trouble and turmoil and disturbance. Do you know, I'm a little bit surprised when somebody says to me, I was watching the news last night. And, you know, I just stared at the screen and looked at all these descriptions of the war in Ukraine or the war in Afghanistan or the hunger that goes on in various parts of the world. And you think, why were you surprised? Surely the Bible tells you that the world has nothing in it but trouble and turmoil and tribulation. And then when you look at verses 4 and 5, It's like watching this Hollywood movie where they're showing this earthquake or this tsunami, and then suddenly the scene switches. And suddenly they leave aside the earthquake or the tsunami or the whatever they're describing, and they go into a house, a family, in the front room. And there are the parents, and there are the children, and there is peace, and there's joy. There's laughter. They're having a good time together. It's this juxtaposition of the two contrasting scenes, turmoil and tribulation and famine and earthquake and tsunami and so on. And then suddenly this scene in a home. And there's peace and there's quiet and there's gentleness and there's joy. That's what it is, isn't it? Notice how the scene switches. Verse 2, the earth gives way, the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, the waters roar and foam, the mountains tremble at their swelling. And then verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. That is a description of the church of Jesus Christ in the midst of a world where there is trouble and turmoil and tribulation. That's what you're looking at. You're looking at a world with turmoil and you're looking at the church, because it says there, this is the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. Now, that is Old Testament and New Testament language for the people of God. When the nation of Israel came out of Egypt and they gathered at Mount Sinai, God gave them a command and God said, I want you to make a tent of meeting. So they made this tent of meeting. And the tent of meeting was right in the heart, right in the center of God's people. All the tribes of Israel were around the tent, and the tent was right in the midst of them. And of course, in the tent of meeting, there was the Holy of Holies. And that was God's dwelling place. And the Spirit of God came and made his dwelling in the Holy of Holies. And in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Numbers, you've actually got all the arrangements, which tribes were to be in the south, which tribes were to be in the north, which tribes were to be in the west, which tribes were to be in the east, and how they were to be gathered around in this circle, or in the square, I guess, with the tent of meeting in the center. And this is the picture that the psalmist picks up. And he says, you've got this city of God, the holy habitation of Most High. God is in the midst of her. It is God's people. In the New Testament language, it is the Church of Jesus Christ. It is the people of God. It is you and I. And what the psalmist is saying is, there may be great trouble and turmoil and tribulation in the world. And 2023 will have tribulation. I hope you're not thinking that 2023, the war in Ukraine will cease, all famine will end, all wars will end, and all kinds of tribulation that goes on in the world will end. And 2023 in America and Britain and Ukraine and Japan and so on will be nothing but peace and happiness and joy and economic prosperity and so on. I hope you're not thinking like that, because if you are, you're going to be disappointed. There is going to be tribulation in this world. There is going to be trial. There is going to be trouble. We will have difficulties in our lives. But you see what this psalmist is saying. He's saying in the midst of all this tribulation, in the midst of all these trials that go on, and he's drawn a very graphic picture. He's used some very powerful Hebrew words here in verses 2 and 3. The earth gives way, disappears, goes away is how it's actually worded. The earth gives way. The mountains be moved. It's a very powerful word. They're sort of dragged along into the heart of the sea. The waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble at its swelling. It's very powerful graphic language of trouble in the world, turmoil in the world. And then the scene switches so dramatically. And the whole language changes, the whole expression changes, everything about this language changes. And he says, in the midst of all this tribulation, you have God's people. There is a city of God. Now please note what he says about God's people. He doesn't say that God's people will somehow grit their teeth, clench their fists, and somehow make through and somehow survive all these trials and troubles and tribulations that will come their way. He does not say that. This is how we often think, isn't it? We think of 2023 coming and we think, well, I know I'm going to have health issues. I know there's going to be work issues. I know there's going to be family issues, financial issues. And I'm just going to have to, well, just pray that the Lord gets me through and somehow I'll just survive and get through to the end of 2023 and just make sure we get through to the end. You notice he doesn't say that. Notice what he says in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Give joy to the city of God. God's people, in the midst of a world where there is turmoil and tribulation, are not just hanging in there. They're not just surviving. They're not just getting through. They have joy and they have peace. That's what those verses are saying. Verses 4 and 5 are saying that they will have joy and they will have peace. Do you know, friends, our expectations are very low. Our expectations of God and what God has for us are very low. I tell you this, they're very low. We think to ourselves, as long as I can get through the day and I'm okay at the end of the day and I'm still believing in Christ and I'm not being too bad, that'll be great. Our expectations are too low. You read in the Bible again and again about how God's people are to have joy and how we are to rejoice in the Lord. Paul says to the Philippians, doesn't he? Rejoice in the Lord. And I will say it again, rejoice. And Jesus speaks about the joy of the Lord. Peter speaks about the joy of the Lord. Read 1 Peter chapter 1 and how Peter says, in this we rejoice, though we have trials of all kinds. James speaks about the joy of the Lord and he says, we rejoice in our tribulations. There is this language of joy throughout the scriptures. How come God's people don't just survive and just get through, but how come they can have joy? Well, let's come back then to verse 1. It's a very simple verse, and I don't need to spend long on it. But there are three things about God in verse 1. And I urge you, take hold of these three things. They're very simple. I'm not going to speak long on it because there's nothing much to say. They're very simple. Three things about God in verse 1. And these three things bring joy to God's people, regardless of the trials that they're going through. These things bring them joy. In the first place, God is our refuge. The people of Israel had these cities of refuge. And they built Jerusalem as a city of refuge with walls around it. It was built on a hill. And on top of the hill, there was this walled city. The hill made it difficult to be attacked anyway, because any attacking army had to first scramble up the hill. And when they got up to the top of the hill, there was this wall. This is a refuge. And they were told, the moment the enemy comes, you flee to the refuge and we shut the gates. And God here describes himself as our refuge. God is our refuge. Do you have times when you're worried about your health? You're worried about issues in life, about family and so on. Why not go to God? Why not pray? And why not say to him, Lord, you are my refuge. Will you give me peace? My heart is in turmoil. Things are happening in my life that bring me turmoil. Why not pray for that peace? Why do we always meditate on all the difficulties we have? Why do we always begin to, think about how things are going to develop in our lives? And so you say, well, I've got this situation at the moment, and I know what's going to happen. It's going to get worse, and then it's going to get worse, and then it's going to get even worse, and it's going to get even worse, and it's going to be really bad, really bad, really, really, really bad. Why do we think like that? That's how we think, isn't it? Why? Why do we not go to God and say, Lord, I've got turmoil, I've got difficulties, I've got work difficulties. Will you give me peace? Will you give me joy? Do you ever pray for joy? Do you ever pray, Lord, make my life a joyful life? You've said here, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Well, I'm an inhabitant of the city of God. Will you make my heart joyful? So God is our refuge, He's our protection, and we are to run to Him. He protects joy and peace in our hearts. He makes sure we don't lose our joy and peace. He doesn't protect us from bad health. He doesn't protect us from the trials of life, but He protects the joy and the peace that He gives to us. We should never lose that joy and peace. He is our refuge. Secondly, God is our strength. It's a very strong word. It's a word that might, power, a fortress, the one who stands for us. God is our strength. Do you feel weak? Do challenges come your way and you think, I cannot handle this. I can't do it. I'd love to be able to sort this out. I'd love to be able to do this. I cannot do it. Do you feel weak? Well, God is your strength. Why do we meditate on our weakness? Why do we focus on our weakness? I'm so disabled now. I can't do this. I used to be able to do it. I can't do it anymore. And so why do we go down that road? God is our strength. Ask God to give you strength. Ask God to give you that ability to take on whatever life brings. God is our refuge. God is our strength. And then thirdly, a very present help. In times of trouble, a very present help in trouble. You notice the footnote says, well proved. I wish that had been in the main text, because I think that is so beautifully written, isn't it? It is exactly what the Hebrew is saying. Hebrew here is saying, the psalmist is saying, I have walked with God. And every time I've had difficulty, God has been there. He has never failed me. I cannot remember 1 second or 1 minute or 1 hour or 1 day when God failed me. I cannot remember such a thing. God has been well tested in my life. I've tested him and I've seen that he has lived up to all his promises. He has been there when I've needed him. That is your testimony. Think about 2022. Think about the times when God came to your aid, when God helped you, when God blessed you, when God granted you great joy. Go back over your life. Some of you have been Christians many decades. Go back over your life. And you will say with the psalmist, he is a well-proved help in trouble. Friends, 2023 need not be a year of stress and turmoil and anxiety and depression. God gives joy to his people. And God protects the joy and the peace that he gives to us. He does not give you immunity from the troubles of life, but he does make sure we don't go through life stressed and anxious. Those verses 4 and 5 is the description of God's people in their daily lives. There is a river whose streams give joy to the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And God helps her when morning dawns. Trust in the Lord. Pray to God. Pray for joy. Pray for peace. Pray that you won't be given to anxiety and difficulty. And the Lord will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's